Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Joining me today for a short interview is one of the most badass women in motorsports, in Haley Shanley. And Haley, first off, how are you?
Thanks for having me. I am doing well. Just enjoying my summer, trying to get more time on two wheels, less work, but always trying to find that balance. How are you doing?
As I explained beforehand, it's been quite a day. I got injured at the post office. If anybody wants to ask, I will take that offline. But you know, weird things happen here in Indy, especially when it's like 96 degrees again today, and the AC is barely hanging on in my place.
Same. It's pretty disgusting. I'm making a run for the northern border here tonight and going to Canada. I kid. I'm enjoying the warm weather while we have it, but it's a little much.
Yeah. Anything above like 80 and I'm like kind of a cranky old man, like, and you know, 90 is just like, I don't want to go. Like, my dog wanted to lay outside yesterday and I'm like, dude, it's 97 degrees. This is not, you can't do this.
Right. 100%.
So before we kind of talk about everything you've got going on now, how did you get, you know, interested in motorsports, you know, originally? You take us through kind of the Haley's evolution into motorsports.
Yeah, well, this dates back to my childhood, teenage years. I grew up in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and just always grew up being a fan, vaguely following, you know, NASCAR, but especially motocross, supercross. That was my thing. And in that same vein of the high-flying sports where I'm from, snowcross is really big. You know, that, you know, no surprise why I ended up there today, just following my path. But what really got me into motorsports was what really clicked for me in high school. I was the world's okayest student, like B-, C-plus student, like getting by, you know. A class that just really clicked for me was broadcast journalism. And how it, actually the class before that was like video production or something. Because it was a field of study, but it allowed you to focus in on subjects that you wanted to. So I'm like, okay, well, like, I'm a fan of, I like dirt bikes, so I'm gonna go film my buddies like riding dirt bikes, turn it in, and, you know, ace the project. And I did. So you know, just, I feel like that's just what I gravitated towards in my projects in school was motorsports, because that's what I was a fan of, that's what I enjoyed. So I knew that around that point, like 15, 16, 17 years old, that I wanted to get into broadcasting. But I wanted to do so in a way that I was coming in from like the back end of things, like the production, the live event producing, all that stuff. And I wanted to be a Swiss Army knife that no production team or network could deny me with those skills. So I wanted to follow that path. But in high school and into my college years, graduating college, I was going to take any job I could in motorsports just to educate myself, learn not just about like pavement racing, motocross, supercross. I wanted to expand my knowledge base and just learn all that I could, learn the ins and outs, the cultures, all of that. So that's, you know, it's been a long winding road of how I got to dirt track racing from there, which is where I really started professionally in this space. But really just following my passion of motorsports. Worked a lot in off-road, which is where I still am today. Snowcross was my first opportunity on the mic. But then there was Speed Shift TV going on in the background, which has now been absorbed by Flow Racing. So that's a whole nother story. But along the way, yeah, it just really started with just being a race fan and my passion and following that and taking any opportunity I could possibly get my hands on.
So who were your kind of, you know, racing heroes? Who did you look up to, you know, in those days?
Loved a big Jeff Gordon fan on the NASCAR side. Yeah. But on the motocross side, it was Kevin Windham and Chad Reed.
Okay. All right. I like it. So let's see here. Snowcross. This one thing I've been fascinated with since I helped produce an episode of the A-Main podcast that you were a guest on a couple years ago. And shout out to Matt and Billy for rocking all of that and introducing me to snowcross. But if somebody doesn't know what snowcross is, granted, our audience is probably largely open wheel fans. So what is snowcross? What's, you know, interesting about it? And then I guess point B is, where can people check it out for those who would be interested?
It's a great question, and I really like comparing it to motocross because it's okay. It's similar. The tracks are built with these big jumps and these high banked corners, similar to what you'd see on a moto or supercross track, and except it's snowmobiles, and instead of dirt, it's a snow track. It's one of the most scenic sports, in my opinion, just that beautiful white snow just paired with the high contrast of these loud, bright, beautiful machines. So it's high speed, it's action, it's a very physical sport, so that's what I'd compare it to. It has its roots. The sport of snowcross is really not that old. It really started with its core in circle track oval ice racing, which is still a big thing today. But the sport kind of, you know, it branched off into snowcross in like the 80s, 90s, really took off then, came over from Europe. That's where it originated, in Scandinavia. So yeah, AMSOIL Championship Snowcross is the premier series, but there's other regional circuits. Canada has their national tour there. And to check it out, what's really cool that started this season is that snowcross is now on Flow Racing. So we really want to get more motorsports enthusiasts excited about it, because while snowcross, I'll be honest, it's a niche. You know, predominantly our fan base is people from areas with snow or who have some connection to snowmobiling or snow sports. So, but I will say, and because I'm fans of other sports as well, motorsports, that it's a form of racing and a thrill that I think the general motorsports enthusiast can't appreciate. So to answer your question of where you can watch it, Flow Racing.
Awesome. I have checked it out a little bit over the last few years, and it's super fun to watch. But, you know, I know you've got a million things going on. You're just kind of, you know, color commentating, reporting, podcasting. So I don't know which one you want to take first here, but, you know, what's it like? I guess what's it like being behind, you know, the microphone and announcing, and how, you know, is it more challenging or less challenging than just kind of your standard, you know, reporting on stuff?
That's a good question. It's very different, because you have to really learn. I will say that, you know, starting as a reporter, just if you're comparing the amount of minutes on air as a reporter to the amount of minutes on air as a color commentator or play-by-play, it's much smaller as a reporter. But I feel like maybe for me that was more pressure, and that when you're on, you gotta be on 100%, no room for error. And really that's the standard in anyone who's holding a mic. So I think it's just, you know, you gotta be able to really carry a conversation, carry not even a conversation, it's sometimes one way, you're speaking right to the viewer, just be able to have all of the information, your homework at your disposal, your knowledge base, everything right there, just to carry it for hours on end. So it's definitely challenging in that way. But for me, as much as it is a challenge to be in the booth, it's almost more relaxed, because you learn to calm yourself down, you know, not having to fit all your stuff into 30 seconds of airtime at a time or whatever. And it's really about who you're paired with. If you're in the booth with another or two other people, I've been very fortunate enough to find really good chemistry with the gentleman that I've been paired with. So that part is really, really fun for me. So it's just a very different workflow. So I'm in the booth all winter long. I might go report for select other events here and there, but come summertime, I'm down trackside again for both off-road and some sprint car races here and there. And it's just a different mindset I have to adjust myself to. But it's a lot of fun. If I'd have to say if I prefer one or the other, that's really tough. I think for snowcross, like, that's the one where I really couldn't pick, because I've been down trackside and I like being in the action and connecting with people. It's always such a pleasure having a guest in the booth. But that said, to be in the booth and be where it's warm and not negative 20, that's decent also.
Yeah.
So,
that's fair.
Yeah, I guess they both have their challenges and perks, I would say.
So when you're preparing to be trackside versus preparing to, you know, commentate on an event, what's the difference in the type of preparation you're doing?
I think when I go to report, kind of what my homework, and when I'm on site, and that includes my homework as well, just talking to people, like, I'll pick like 4 or 5 good stories. Let's say for the average, well, it's more than that. For off-road, if I have 6 on-air hits, every competition yellow, they're going to come to me for every pro race. I got to have 6 good stories lined up. But you always got to be prepared for more if there's an extended red flag or just downtime in the broadcast to chime in. So it's more limited to, like, I come up with a list, whereas you know, with being in the booth, you try to just have a broad spectrum of not just those stories, but you want to make sure you have like stats and a little bit of something on every single athlete out there to the best of your knowledge, facts on the venue. So I try to bring as much of that as I can into reporting, but just with what the production demands of me, it's more like story based, where I would say in the booth, it's just, yeah, like I said, very broad, but lots of hours put into it for both, that's for sure.
Yeah, that last part has me thinking. So, you know, you're essentially on the road in some way, shape, or form for some racing, summer, winter. Do you ever get a rest?
I do. That's become really, really important to me, actually. Yeah. Just not only, like, resting my mind, but my body as well. I don't know how I would do it in my, like, my early 20s. Like, I go out and just, like, have a beer and, like, enjoy myself, whatnot. Man, I can't do that anymore. Like, I need to be in bed by, like, 10 p.m. if I'm waking up at sometimes 5:30 to get ready for a show. But not only that, but just to relax my mind, decompress, do my homework. So I've really learned to prioritize that. And also being an introvert, like I recharge my batteries when I'm alone. Not saying I don't like people, but I just really need that time to like process the day, get ready for the next one. So sometimes when you're just in a situation like you have media days on end before a broadcast weekend, it's really exhausting. So I've had to at the risk of sounding like someone who hates everyone, because that's not always the case, just have to politely excuse myself from some social outings and situations. But it's good. No, and in the summertime now, year round, really, I went from doing so many different kinds of motorsports, from watercross, sprint cars, you know, midgets, micros, all this stuff, to where like I love doing that. But I think it was just kind of time for my schedule to narrow down a little bit. I wanted to hone in on and specialize on the sports that I was doing. I didn't want to just like know a little bit of each. I wanted to really know it all on just a few select projects. So that's why my schedule is a little bit more narrowed down now. I pretty much just stick to off-road and snowcross racing and ice oval in the winter time. And like I said, only a handful of sprint car events nowadays. And part of that is because Flo just kind of took me off the air. So, you know, kind of by my choice to scale down, but also some factors that are out of my control. So trying to prioritize that time to myself and, like you said, time to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I get it. A couple of years ago, I was like, I'm going to go to, you know, cover the IndyCar race in Toronto and party on the the night before the race. And that was when I learned, I was like, I'm too old to do, like, I need, because I just couldn't focus on the race. And I turned down a lot of, like, oh, let's have beers. I'm like, okay, I'll have a beer. And then I'm going back to my hotel or my Airbnb or whatever, because I know, especially, like, this weekend and this past weekend, Road America, like driving home after the race, that's a 6-hour drive. And like getting up at 6 a.m., like, I need my rest.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a media person yourself, you probably know that foggy brain feeling. Like, you may be, like, you know, physically you may be like doing all right, but like during the race or right after, you're trying to do like a recap or a show or something, and you're just, your brain just won't fire. And it, I don't know why it took me like my early 20s to figure out that, oh, maybe if you just like take care of your mind and your body, you can fight through that fog a little bit better. So yeah, you and I, we get it.
Yeah, I had to learn the hard way. 2019 was a lot of like, wow, I probably shouldn't have stayed out late last night, weekends. And then Toronto was like the, okay, you can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But so I know you've covered a ton of different racing. Is there kind of like a bucket list race that you haven't gotten to go to as a fan or to cover that you would like to get to in some capacity at some point?
So I'm checking off, as a fan, I'm checking stuff off the list this year. Yeah. I went to my first Indy 500 a few weeks ago. It was incredible. It was, I tell people, my family who haven't been, I'm like, this is the Disney World of motorsports, all right? Yeah. Like, they spare no expense. All the stops were pulled out. So it was just such a wonderful time. Going to my first Formula One race this weekend in Montreal.
Oh, so jealous.
Never been to Formula One. And I think like a lot of people that I've spoken to got really into it when that Netflix series came out, because I had vague familiarity with it. You know, you loosely follow it, but that just like ignited something. So as a fan, checking those out. But as professionally, events I want to cover, I've been so fortunate to cover like the biggest ones that I've wanted to, you know, being a big 410 wing sprint car girl, just to have been able to work with the All-Stars was, I love that. I cherished every moment. As far as events I want to cover professionally, I'm working in my dream circuits right now with off-road and snowcross. So that to me, it's hard to look past that. You know, I've always had my eye on the outdoor motocross circuit, Lucasoil, and Monster Energy Supercross, and I don't think that the time is right. There's been some conversations there, all very good ones, and very honored to have been part of those conversations, but we'll keep it going and see what happens. But you know, I found my way in snowcross. I feel home there, and I don't know, I think there's more work to be done there before I'm ready to walk away from an assignment, and really a passion of mine. So who knows, maybe one day I would love to be part of two-wheel racing in some capacity.
Hell yeah. So first off, jealous about Montreal. I still, despite having F1 episodes weekly for the last couple years, have not gotten to cover a race. So I'm, and this week it was just too much IndyCar on the road to me to want to go this weekend. But last question, you have a podcast as well. I know you have a really cool co-host on it. I've gotten to listen to a couple episodes, but you know, what's the podcast about? Where can people find it? And yeah, whatever you want to say about that.
Yeah, so I'm on a couple of podcasts right now. My friend Jackie Reese and I, we recently retired our podcast, just being like our careers are getting in the way, and you know, just with her racing schedule and stuff, it's gotten so hard. So that was the Mini Moto Show. We specialized in talking about snow bikes, the backcountry, but specifically with the racing side of things with AMSOIL World Championship Snowcross. So I wouldn't say it's completely done and dusted. You know, never know, we might resurrect that one come snowcross season again. But that's been a really fun one for sure. But the current projects I work on too are the Snowcross podcast presented by AMSOIL and the Grand Prix Skidoo de Valcourt podcast, which is GPSV. If you're not familiar, it is it's one of my favorite events of the winter. It is a very large ice oval, snowcross, snowbike, and VTT, which is their four-wheelers and motorcycles on ice, and this is in the Valcourt, Quebec.
I think I need to watch that this year, because every time I hear ice oval, I get super pumped up, and that's the one thing I haven't watched yet.
It's gnarly.
Very it sounds insane from the way it's been described before. I've heard it a couple times. I just haven't gotten to watching it yet.
The speeds that they go, like, if you've ever seen a, like, you know, sport bike racing, like, either on a road course or the oval, like, that's what it's like, and they're like, leaned off the sled, just grazing the ice pretty much. Like, it's the speeds that they're going blow your mind, and then, you know, snowmobiles, those are purpose-built for ice, those are gnarly, but then you see, like, the motorcycles and quads on ice, and it just it blows your mind. Like, these guys walk such a fine line of insanity at all times. So mucho respect.
Hell yeah. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Haley, thank you very much. I appreciate the time this afternoon, especially since it was kind of late notice when I reached out. So I appreciate that. And safe travels. Enjoy Montreal.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's always a treat being on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Toby.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.